Welcome into the Chat Pack Podcast, a weekly podcast where we gather around and talk about this, that, and the other thing, available for your streaming pleasure at twitch.tv/chat_pack. I'm Paul Holden. I'm one of your hosts here. I am joined by my illustrious co-host as I'm sending a promotional Snapchat, which hopefully has audio to it, to people. But anyway, this is a great podcast where we can gather around and talk about this, that, and the other thing. Happy Father's Day to all the dads-to-be, father figures, moms that are dads or filling that dad role or friends or whatever. Happy Father's Day to those that have fathers around. Happy Father's Day to those whose fathers may have passed. Happy Dad's Day, guys. What did you call your dads yet?
Oh, yeah. I called my mom and my dad was nearby and I said Happy Father's Day and he said thank you. But also, did you just give a shout out to moms on Father's Day?
Yeah, sometimes. What if you're in a single mom household and your mom's filling both roles as both mom and dad?
That's fair.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
She's both beef. Parents. You got beef with simultaneously. That? She gets filling dad's day roles, too. Dude. It's 2020. Caleb.
If you're single,
does that mean that she has to do dad jokes? Is that
hopefully?
Yeah.
If she makes a joke, is it a dad joke?
Yeah. Maybe. Probably just a mom.
What about
joke.
If dad's not really in the joke. Picture, but he comes around sometimes, and then like she makes jokes, and sometimes you call him dad jokes, but then when he comes back around, and she makes a joke, is that?
I think you're just looking too deep into the lore here of Father's Day.
So anyway,
happy Father's Day out there. We're happy to be here on this Sunday afternoon podcast. Now, my other two co-hosts, you've heard both of them talk. We got Trevor Heim, the man whose computer didn't turn on and has been fighting daily power outages, apparently. I don't know what the heck is going on in Utah, but Trevor, what's up, bud?
Dude, I don't know if it's just like my house specifically or my street or something with the power company out here, but yeah, every day the power goes out at some point. Every morning I wake up, it's become part of my morning routine to just set the clock on the stove because the clock is reset and it annoys me when it's blinking. So I'm getting real sick of the power outages. Figure it out, Utah.
Hopefully it doesn't happen in the middle of the show, but in case the stream just cuts off immediately, then we know what happened. Caleb is also joining us. Caleb Cole on the other side. Caleb, what's up, bud?
Yeah, I'm Caleb Cole. I think people kind of refer to me as the heart and soul of the podcast or the volume of the podcast.
Okay.
So everybody knows.
I'm intrigued the by face. The setup you have of the mic with your pop filter on it. It's looks like it's a little askew from my angle, but who am I to say?
I've got angled a little bit off center, so that way it kind of just like, you know, the wind blows the other way.
In the arms of an eagle. Speaking of celebrations, we also would like to give a belated Chat Pack birthday shout out to our one and only co-host, Caleb Cole. Caleb, happy birthday again.
You were there. You made me birthday dinner.
It was a surprise. Dinner, our buddy Andrew. So it was a surprise party, and me and our roommate, Andrew, friend of the show, he did pizzas from scratch. He did the dough and a lot of them. I made the red sauce for the pies. In addition to that, we also made kebabs, grilled kebabs, chicken kebabs, and vegetable kebabs.
Couple of kebabs.
Quick little salad. By salad, I just threw spinach with and feta and red onion. There was red onion in there, but then it all fell to the bottom.
I heard that there was red onion, but I didn't see any. I looked into the salad because somebody was like, oh, yeah, there's salad. I looked in, and I just saw a whole bowl of spinach, and then in one corner of the bowl, I saw like a little clump of feta. And that's all I saw. So the red onions, from my standpoint, that's hearsay. I haven't seen them.
Sounds like a decent size.
I can cook a lot of things. I can cook things, a lot of things. I like to cook, and I would say I'm pretty decent at it.
A lot of things.
Salads, not so much.
Trump's like speech advisor.
I can cook. I can cook. I cook good things. I cook many things. I'm so good at cooking. They look at me. South Korea, Germany. They look at me. And they're like,
okay, hold on. I wasn't asking for you to do a whole impression. If I wanted to see that, I would watch Trevor on The Daily Show. He goes for one about every other scene.
You're not referring to me, right?
I don't watch The Daily Show. No, Trevor Noah.
Yeah, The Daily Show went downhill after Jon Stewart left. I'm not going to lie.
I really like Last Week Tonight.
Oh, yeah, amazing. John Oliver's hilarious. Also, John Oliver, I had never watched Community.
Oh, yeah. And
He's so good.
He's not like just in it every once in a while. Like, he's a very regular character, and he's hilarious.
Yeah.
Community is a
plays show. A terrible person.
Most of the people in Community are bad people.
It's the classic. They get
even the good ones are like character. Like Annie is like the sweet innocent girl. She's kind of bad a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Did you watch Glow? On Netflix? Did you watch
Glow? I watched like the first couple episodes with you. She plays such a different role in that. Holy cow.
Yeah, she does. I liked that show. I didn't watch the most recent season. I might get back to that. But anyway, we got a couple of topics. We'll get into those shortly.
We about 45 minutes in.
Yeah. Just obviously for me, I got to say my piece. A lot of video game news happened this past week. EA Play Live came out, and the big stuff new that was skate. Announced, at least that's important. Yeah, new Skate, man. Skate 4 is a real thing. They are working. It's going to be it's a few years off, but new Skate, that's exciting stuff. I wasn't too into Skate, and then my roommates last year were playing a lot of Skate, and then my roommates currently like Skate, so I think I'm definitely going to get into it. It's fun. Skate's is a very, very fun game to play. I wish that Skate 2 was on the Xbox One, because that one has split-screen co-op or local multiplayer, whereas Skate 3 does not. So, but alas, what can you do? So, Paul, other big news. What?
I was going to say last week's, you might be getting to this, but last week's episode, you talked about how excited you were for a particular sequel game that was coming out. And it seems like the internet has not been super fond of that game so far.
I'll get to that. I'll get to that in one moment. Curious. I want to get to what you guys think about part of that. But, big news also, I guess, at least in terms of me, Apex Legends is getting cross-platform play, which will be really dope because that means Caleb and I can play and stream some stuff really easily, which would be cool for us.
Oh, man, I'm going to have to drag Paul through those ranked matches.
Dude, I streamed some Apex before the show today.
Isn't it coming to Switch, too?
I think the level of competition is going to change drastically for you, though, because once you go up against people who have keyboards and mouses, it's going to be very... They just have an objective advantage.
I'm ready for that.
Yeah. I mean, you're better at it than I am with the controller. Like, you're good. I think you're good on the console, but I have no idea.
Well, and what I like about Apex is it's like, it's a lot of the team. You know, if we're communicating, we're playing, you know, I might have the disadvantage of
Paul's like, I'll get downed and you'll take care of me.
Yeah, exactly. If I ever told you
I
that
do
you're
have
my
a
hero.
Mouse. My new mouse has weights in it, and it's like got like removable like 4-ounce weights that you can shift around in the back of the mouse. It's pretty high tech.
So that's exciting. I'll be there because, I mean, we might as well. I think I'll be ready because I got the eye, Caleb, the eye of the tiger. What other video game stuff came out of EA Play that I saw? Hey, there's a new Madden. See that? Coming out with the new Madden game and a FIFA game and
that's cool.
NHL game. And
okay, that's the coolest.
is there a 2K? But no.
Progress. No. That you said that in the order that, like, from least to most excited I am about those games. Madden, don't care at all. FIFA, pretty fun. NHL, the best sports game, in my opinion.
I think FIFA is still my favorite out of the, like, real sports games because, let's be honest, when Caleb comes over and plays some Mario sports games, it doesn't really go well for him.
In Mario Golf, we're dead even. I've won twice, and I think you've only won once, and Jeff won once, and I've won twice. What are you talking about?
You know, I got to give you a little, you know, I got to make you feel good a little bit because I've currently outscored Caleb in our Mario baseball games in a resounding 12-1 over 3 games. I've had double digit hits
last night.
You only scored once.
I had a home run and I had 2 runs. I had two run-ins and I had a home run.
Toad hit a home run. That's right. And Toadsworth
scored.
Dinger.
Right side.
Big monster dong. We're going to start recording those this week to get some stuff up.
Toad and his monster dong. I think that not to be confused that Toad is a monster dong because he does have what's Bradley?
He has a monster condom for his magnum dong.
The mushroom tip, you know? He looks like the mushroom tip, to be honest.
I mean, he is a mushroom.
He does have a mushroom on his head. So.
That's what I'm saying. He looks like a big dong.
See, no, it's a hat, though, Trevor, I think.
Is it a hat?
He can't take that off.
I thought it was connected to his head.
I don't think he could take it off. I feel like if he took it off, there'd be like wires and stuff underneath.
I'm finding it. I'm finding it.
Be like Darth Vader.
Toad, take off the
So Toad
mushroom.
Is actually Lord Helmet.
Lord Helmet.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's none of this is helpful. Is Toad in Mario wearing a hat?
It makes me think of the pickle guy in SpongeBob when he's like, that wasn't a hat. And they ripped off that little yellow thing on his head.
Just type in Toad space and space mushroom tip.
I don't think I'm gonna do that. I'm not gonna do. Don't you guys might not.
Rule 34 would point to some weird answers.
According to Wikipedia here, the most prominent trait of a toad is its large head that resembles a mushroom in shape and color. Historically speculated as them wearing a mushroom hat, but eventually ruled out by Japanese video game designer Yoshiaki Kazumi. Another common point of most toads is their traditional vest. So, no, that is their head. It is a full-blown piece of their head. Anyway, that's confirmed. There's other... Oh, I know what else I wanted to talk about.
You heard
about
it first here on
stuff.
The Chat Pack Podcast.
Before we get to that other part of video game stuff, new Pokemon Snap. That's going to be really cool. Coming to Switch.
It seems like people are hype about that. I had never heard of Pokemon Snap until I heard that they were rebooting it.
What?
And I thought it was like a phone game.
We played it like never heard Montrose.
You never played Pokemon Snap? You know where you go on the rails and you take the pictures of the Pokemon? Oh my god, it's such a cool different like Pokemon thing, and you do like throw different like fruit and like different like things to interact with the Pokemon and the environments to do like secret things. I mean, it's a really cool game.
It's fun, but like from everybody has tried to describe it to me that I've told this to, and every single time they've described it, I'm still just like, I'm taking pictures of Pokemon, and they're like, yeah, it's awesome. It sounds so boring. Nah, I'm sure it's fun. I'm sure that like there's just, you know, people aren't doing it justice, but like throwing fruit at Pokemon so that they eat it.
I mean,
and you just take pictures.
I mean, they're nailing the most of it on the head, but it's more of like the worlds that you get to go through and just seeing Pokemon doing some different stuff. And like, honestly, figuring out how to do the secret stuff. Cause like you have to do secret stuff at certain times and like, you can't fuck up certain things or else you won't be able to like see the certain things. And then
it sounds like my experience with No Man's Sky. I was like, I'm still flying around. I'll take a picture of that rock outcropping.
You got to collect all the flora
and
fauna.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess,
but there's, but I'm excited for that. They're showing the next Smash Bros. DLC character tomorrow, but we know it's from the game Arms. So that's actually going to be kind of cool. Because that was a cool idea for... I never played it, but it was a cool looking game. That was launched around the start of the Switch. So, but what's cool, what's interesting about that character is there was a assist trophy in the game that was already the character from Arms, and then they're putting one in the game. So that might mean, who knows, Waluigi could be, you know, finally taken in and put into the game.
Waluigi.
But finally...
How long does he have to wait?
Seriously. Last of Us Part 2 comes out. Highly anticipated sequel. I am probably like 3 to 5 hours into the game. I'm in. I'm ready for the ride. But Trevor, to go to what you were pointing out, if you go on to things like Metacritic and elsewhere, you'll see that it's been review bombed on the user side. But on the critic side, the critical side, it's pretty much critically acclaimed. Shocker, I know. I've read a couple of like reviews actually that like weren't super, you know, that weren't all, like overall like a positive experience, which I thought were interesting because I think those are important. But I don't know, man. For me, when it comes down to the whole thing, it just is gamers being mad about stupid things. And it like people might, you know, they're coming out and oh, the game sucks, blah, blah, blah. And they're already saying all this stuff, but all the majority of that stuff was happening when the game wasn't even out for 24 hours, and the game is estimated to be a 20 to 30 hour game. Yeah, so it's kind of just like, you're just full of shit because you don't like that the character is a lesbian, and you don't like the fact that like that's a there's a prominent sex scene. I will say though, when you compare it to the Last of Us, there is definitely a lot more. It's a lot slower of a pace right now of like where I'm at. There's a lot more talking, a lot more stuff that happens. But I mean, I don't want to spoil anything at all. But yeah, there is a moment there, like for the beginning, I was like, all right, it's moving. And then boom, a big part of the plot happens. And now that's relatively recent. I'm setting off to take care, or you know, to follow up what had just happened, and I'm being intentionally vague because I really don't want to spoil anything, because it was like a scene that just kind of was really intense and kind of like took that. I was just like, whoa, because that's the whole thing about this game, is it's violent, it's depressing, it is, and again, violent is like underscored thing. So a lot of people are having like some issues with like, oh, we're trying to come to terms with killing a lot of people, but then you still kill a lot of people. So it's that weird video game thing of where like they're trying to have the characters like grow and develop and have remorse, but then it's like you still go there. But I'm, like I said, I'm 3 to 5 hours in the game and I haven't killed a single human being yet. And I know that is going to change because I, again, have really, I've finally gotten past the intro and getting into, at least I would say, the beginning of the second act of the game. For me, I'm into it. It's a great revenge story, I think, or at least I hope it's going to be a great revenge story, but I also don't want to sit here and be like, oh, people can't have negative things about this game that I was really excited about. Cause like, if you don't dig it, you don't dig it either. But it's just the classic gamers whining and doing stupid stuff. But I wanted to ask you guys, how much do reviews factor into things for you? Are reviews a big deal for you guys? Do you guys take reviews, whether it be critical or user reviews? Do they hold a lot of weight for you?
I think it kind of depends on the thing. Like if I'm looking to buy something, you know, like if I'm looking to buy like a household item or something like that, and I'm curious about like, you know, finding a good quality version of whatever it is, like I'm thinking of like, I don't know, like a kitchen utensil or something. It's like, I want to get like the best one for the money. So I'm going to scour the internet and like read some reviews and see like people's experience with different brands and things like that. But when it comes to like media, like movies, games, TV shows, things like that, I feel like after I've watched or experienced whatever thing, you know, like the story and things like that, like I might go and read some reviews and like see what people thought about it and maybe like, because some people have different conclusions to different movies and TV shows, you know, especially if it's something where the ending is like up to your interpretation or whatever. So I like to read that kind
of
stuff.
Which the first Last of Us was definitely like, that was a prime example of.
Yeah, exactly. So like, well, and I haven't played the first game, but like if I were to play it, I would probably play through the whole thing and then go and read some of that stuff and whatever. But that stuff wouldn't keep me from, you know, purchasing and playing it, because I definitely put more weight into like, you know, you being like, oh man, this game's really cool, you should check it out. And so I'll check it out even if there's like a billion negative reviews on it. You know, like I put more weight into like what my friends recommend, kind of a thing. So
what about you, Lub?
Meh. Like critics definitely. You're talking about just specifically critic views, right?
Both, honestly. I mean, anything. I mean, does the fact that The Last of Us 2 has a, you know, 9.6 on Metacritic critical and a 3.2 user review thing with 1,000 peer reviews that are mostly negative, like, does that do
I just
anything
play the
for
game.
You?
Nah, I just play the game. Like, there's definitely, it might be a little affected. Like, if it's a completely random game I've never heard of, it's something indie, and it has, like, 1 out of 10 from everybody, yeah, I might not buy the $15 game, you know, but right. Like generally I like, if it seems like a game where the mechanics are something that I would be interested in, I'll just try it. Especially because a lot of games are free nowadays. Not all of them. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty that aren't.
Or there's sales. Like, there's great sales, I feel like that. There's like a sale every week. It seems crazy.
I swear, they go to like 101% off, where it's like, we'll give you 15 cents to buy this game.
That's yeah, Steam. And I mean,
they're pretty extreme. My buddy just got Oblivion for, I think, $3.50 with the DLC.
Did it come with... Ava would have a stroke for that. You know what
also,
I mean?
Like, I know we talked about Sky Oblivion recently, but I cannot wait. That's no, I don't think so. I think that it's still in development, but that is definitely going to be something that we should be streaming, and we should all get together and like watch each other play that, because that could be super fun.
Yeah,
they're literally
it'd be cool
porting
to
all of Oblivion into the Skyrim engine.
Because I feel like once I make it out to Washington, I'm not going to be able to not at least see what the Oblivion's all about from Ava, which is easily her favorite game.
I can't believe you've never played it,
dude. I didn't play Elder Scrolls until I've gotten out of the sewers, and that's it in Oblivion, and then I didn't play Elder Scrolls until Skyrim.
Definitely, and I think Oblivion is my favorite out of them, but. I don't want to dive down that hole because I won't climb out for long.
Yeah, but anyway, I think reviews, like, I like to read reviews. I am curious, but it's definitely like I like The Last of Us. I was buying, like, didn't matter, you know, if everyone said it was, you know, even if critically it wasn't all that good. That was a game I was going to try for myself for sure. But then I think a good example would be like Crackdown 3. I liked Crackdown 1, Crackdown 2 was pretty good, Crackdown 3 was in developmental hell, blah, blah, blah. But then it was coming to Game Pass day one, so I was like, the reviews aren't all that great, but here's this service, I can play it for this price versus paying for it. And so that fact, I feel like that's when critics kind of come into games where it's like, especially Microsoft games, where if I can play it for free on Game Pass, then I'm not going to worry about probably buying it if I can just try it and then buy it from there. But, you know, something like The Last of Us, it didn't matter. I was buying that. I want to be and experience the story and be in that world again, as much as it's kind of hard to be in that world sometimes. But, like, I don't know. So I feel like, again, though, like, I'll have more to say, like, about, like, the legit concern or, like, criticisms that people have and, like, about the game. But I will say, like, if you are seeing The Last of Us 2 stuff and you're like, wow, these reviews are a little bit, like, just make sure that you actually are, like, one, really careful of spoilers, because people don't give a fuck and they will just spoil it for you because the stuff leaked early and they're assholes. And
that's the worst.
And two, like, there are the people that legitimately say the game is shitty because it is a female-led game and she is a lesbian. Like, there's 1,000% people that are upset about that and think it's a way bigger deal and it's the social justice warrior agenda coming for you or something like that. So,
does it feel,
but again,
I can understand that, like, that being a concern if it felt really pandering, like if it was just like the company trying to, you know, like, check off some boxes, you know. But
I mean,
if you're just pissed off about that simple fact, then fuck you anyway. So
it's I wouldn't say the romance of it is any more nuanced than if someone had a romance in there in the, you know, of,
most
of
video
the same,
game,
you know,
romances feel ham fisted, to be fair.
Yeah, kind of anyway. Of, but I mean, this one's not like it's like, honestly, what's interesting, I think, so far about it is Ellie is like 18, 19 years old, and she's grown up in this thing, and, you know, there's a whole lot of this, like, in the beginning there is this other guy that's like, there's kind of some weird, like, relationship stuff, but it's like, I think that's kind of cool to, like, have the worlds being built of, you know, they're that age in this world, and, like, not so, like, in the middle of being on patrol and fighting the infected, they're also, like, having their high school relationship type drama stuff, and I actually think that's kind of interesting because it shows that, like, they're not just, hey, we're here to go on patrol and da 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 da, you know. And so it's just nice to see just a little bit of, you
humanity.
Know, it's not like, yeah, exactly. Humanity's, it's just, it shows that, like, they're living in the world, not just
surviving.
You know, yeah, or something like that. Yeah. So, and I'm going to see how it goes.
No, I realized with, like, now that we're going on like 4 or 5 months or whatever it's been with, like, working from home and, like, you know, staying, you know, socially distant, things like that. I'm realizing now that a lot of, you know, post-apocalyptic, like, you know, doomsday type movies don't really depict day-to-day life that realistically. It's like, I've been moving my furniture around for like 3 weeks because I'm just bored, and I'm like, I want this couch over here. They don't show that in, you know, Mad Max.
Right. But again, I think it's fair to have criticisms of games. I think it's fair to think that a game, a highly regarded game that, I mean, can't knock the other reviews. Like, so I don't want to give the impression that it's like that, but it is also just like, take that shit with a grain of salt.
People are always going to be upset gamers are about sequels.
But it's gamers especially, you know? Gamers are the biggest whiners in the entire world.
Yeah, sweaty neckbeards.
Like... Anyway, but that's really it, I feel like I got for that. But for me, I'm really excited. I'm going to dive in probably more tonight, probably put another like 3 hours and stuff. And fun fact, they're going to Seattle. So there you go. It's another connection to Washington.
Speaking of...
I will say, like, I guess... Hey, go ahead.
No, I was going to change to...
I'm a little... I feel like I got like a little, like a slight delay like in my connection. So I just feel like I'm missing you by like a hair. But anyway, switch it up. Let's do it.
I'm just always going to cut you off. No, speaking of diving into things, Caleb mentioned in one of the last episodes that we might be finally seeing the release of another George R. R. Martin book in the
next month,
Song of Ice and Fire, which I don't think it's actually confirmed. I was trying to look that up, but I did start reading the first book again, A Game of Thrones, and I'm about halfway through it. So I don't know when we did that episode, but I'm already at, like, halfway through the first book.
It was last week I listened to it.
Oh, really?
Nice.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it was last
week. I've
been
just trucking through it. It's good. Like, it reminds me just how good the show was back when it first, like, launched, you know? And I'm just like, man. And like, his writing, he's just a great writer. Like, I'm honestly just impressed with the world he's able to spin, you know? So... It's been pretty good, but I dove into that.
My favorite podcast, Kind of Funny, has been diving back into Lord of the Rings, so it's been cool to listen to them talk about and like go back into that world, and they're bringing up a bunch of like director's cut stuff, because they're doing extended edition stuff, too, and like highlighting some stuff that from like the director's commentary and stuff, cool, too. So it's, you know, not obviously Game of Thrones, but like going back into that fantasy world, because I would say, I think Lord of the Rings is up there with like one of my favorite high fantasy worlds. Like, I just think the world of that is so cool, and
which one?
What goes on? Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
Oh, I thought you said War of the Worlds. I was like, that is not high fantasy, Paul.
It's pretty high fantasy.
Science fiction.
What? Aliens aren't high fantasy?
They could be.
But anyway.
Yeah, I would be surprised cool if you were trying to argue that.
Did you watch that Lord of the Rings reunited together with Josh Gad? Have you watched any of those?
No, honestly, I know a bunch of those have happened. I haven't dived into any of the reunited thing, like Scrubs reunited, I think, and Community reunited too. Like, I mean, it's cool ideas, but to be totally honest, like, if they're not podcasters or like my podcast, I just don't know how much I like the Zoom call things that go on, as I say that, as we're literally doing that thing. But again, I think it's a cool thing and I want to check it out, but I'm not as big of a Lord of the Rings fan as I feel like other people's are too, so it's just like it's cool that they all got together, but I don't know, I'm getting what I need out of Lord of the Rings from my podcast listening to it. But I really like that, like, they're all coming together and doing some cool stuff and telling behind the scenes stories, because that's really interesting when you get to hear more about like the filming. Like, I didn't know Orlando Bloom had broken ribs for like an extended period of time while filming.
I didn't even know that.
Like, while filming. So like the scene in the Two Towers where he kind of like flips off on the horse, or like, you know, whatever, does elf stuff to get up onto the horse.
You
like
know that scene?
They did that in post. They did that in post because he couldn't get on a horse because his fucking ribs were broken.
Oh my god!
That scene where Aragorn, like, they find out. Spoilers for the Lord of the Rings. I don't know what world you live in. If this is a spoiler for you.
But, yeah, I mean,
where Aragorn like finds out, like they find the burned pile of orc bodies, and they find, I think it's one of the wee belts. You know, like they find the little belt of the Hobbit, I think is what it is. And Aragorn is like, ah, and he kicks the helmet and falls down to his knees. In that scene, he broke his toe kicking the helmet. Like, from that kick, he apparently broke his... I don't know if it was, like, his big toe or something, but...
That's when they think Merry and Pippin might be dead, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a great scene.
One last interesting tidbit I've learned. Since they... Like, all of the chainmail and all this stuff was practical, the blacksmith that made all the chainmail worked so hard on all of that stuff and so long, he doesn't have fingerprints anymore. He, like, wore off his fingerprints or something. From just all the crafting he had to do.
That I don't know if that's crazy. True and your fingerprints it's part can of truly a stay conspiracy. Gone forever,
but anyway. No, that was interesting. But anyway, so, let's dive into let's pick where we're gonna go because Trevor brought up a good one.
So I just want to address that this isn't a topic if we're 32 minutes into the show. This isn't not how topics work.
First half is introduction. Second half is the topic.
I think that's how our show usually goes.
If that's how you write your papers, I understand now what's going on with your cover letters.
You know, I talk a lot. I put a lot out there. There's a lot to digest. We cover a lot of ground, but we got details on all that ground.
I think people are going to need some Pepto-Bismol with this, you know?
Maybe. But do we want to go into the pizza discussion? Do we want to do that real quick and then go into this other one? Or do we want to dive in? I like Caleb's topic here.
We've gotten a lot of pizza talk. I think we should talk about, especially considering today is Father's Day, and we're going to talk about... I think, are we becoming our fathers? But also just how, maybe not necessarily like, are we the carbon copy, but like in a younger generation, but just like how like our fathers specifically have influenced our lives and how we are different from them as well. Like how we're unique people, but we're still, you know, apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
First, before we dive into that, special shout out to Chatpack Dad, number one, fan number one, Scott Heim.
Yeah.
Chatpack Dad.
Which I was going to specifically say that in just like straight appearance, you know, from the outside, there couldn't be very many different people from their father than Trevor Heim from Scott Heim.
What?
They are.
Yeah.
They are quite. When you just, you know, if you were to walk up and be like, hi, like, you know, I'm Caleb Cole. What's your name? And he's like, oh, it's Trevor Heim, you know, you know, and then Scott is just. Quite. I'm not asking his name. He is telling me. I know that for a fact.
How you doing, Mr. Scott Heim here?
See, I feel like people have always told me that I'm
a radio announcer. Is Scott Heim a carnival barker in your world?
I was just going for more of a loud, bombastic voice.
Yeah, he's loud.
Him and you know, one thing that Trevor's dad and I have in common: loud. We're loud people.
He used to bring not a blowhorn, but like the megaphones to Vuvuzela? The lacrosse games.
He had those too.
No. Well, those two. Yeah. But no, I mean like a megaphone, and he would just yell into the megaphone during the lacrosse games. Which I found out later that yelling was influenced by Red Bull and vodka 9 times out of 10.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. No, Paul, you would have loved my dad in high school because every game he strived to be the loudest one in the stands, even if it was at risk of getting kicked out of that arena.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. That's what you got to do. His boy's out on the field. You telling him his boy's out there playing ball? He's going to be the number one fan. No one's going to tell him otherwise.
Well, and as Caleb said, if you ever saw my dad at a high school game with the foam, like 7-Eleven cup. You know what I'm talking about? Like the tall foam cup. Yeah, that was vodka Red Bull.
I get to see him sitting in the back like a high schooler trying to sneak into the game, sneaking his own, like making his own Red Bull vodka to sneak in. He's in the back of like the parking lot of the school park.
I'd imagine too, it's like real
the
stout.
The resource officer just making this bit. And I'm sure that Red Bull vodka was strong too. If I know Scott Heim and his cocktails, that's a triple shot.
That just sounds like a scene out of Kicking and Screaming where it's like he's got the Red Bull vodka and like one of the like the enemy players like falls over and he's like huffing and puffing. He's like, hey kid, come over, like take a sip of this Gatorade, and then he sips it and it's just like just vodka and he spits it out on the field and he's like,
it's like, now get back in there.
Man, I haven't seen that movie in a long. Where's my juice box? Juice box boy.
Yeah, that's a great movie. Mike Ditka, hilarious. Yeah.
Before we get into the dad topic, though, have you guys seen that commercial that's been going around Hulu a bunch lately with the people turning into their parents?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, man. I hate that commercial.
When they're in the hardware store? Oh, my gosh. That's the one commercial I think is hilarious.
It's funny, but I hate commercials that just have literally nothing to do with the product that they're advertising. And it's insurance all the fucking time. It's always insurance companies. It's just a further example of insurance is a scam.
It's the worst right now, too, because there's so many commercials that I'm like, I literally don't know what this could be for until the very end when they show me the logo. And then I'm like, oh, okay, it's for Citibank. or whatever it is. But no, that one felt is pretty good. It's like they've
it's
got
funny.
Like
it's funny. It's
a help
funny.
Person, and I just always laugh at when he's like, "We all see it. We all see it." And he's like, "Blue hair. There's blue."
I love when he like walks over, like it just like shows the helper like looking, like they're both standing in front of the couch, and he's like, "Look at the couch. This, you have too many. There's nowhere to sit." And he's just pointing at a couch that's filled completely with throw pillows.
Yeah,
so there's like actually like nowhere to sit, it's just piled on top.
I think I like the one where it's like, "What are you reading? Books about submarines? You know who else reads books about my submarines? My dad." No, I should. That one, that's a funny commercial, but honestly, I just have such a burning disdain for commercial, like especially right now, because it's so many just bullshit progressive commercials, and then it's like,
father.
No, God, no. But then it's like Amazon and Walmart come on, and they're like, "We care about our workers and you during the coronavirus, and blah blah blah. Yeah. We take it safe."
If I have to see like, one more,
you, see,
car
you go on
company.
Twitter, and it's like a, yeah. Dude, the worst was in the beginning where it was like, I think it was like Carvana or something, and they were like, "Now more than ever, you need to buy a car." And it's like,
no.
No.
What?
Who? Not who needs even to buy close. A car? And it's like, or like, and like another one I saw, like in that same van, like vein was like Lexus was trying to like say that, like, "Now is the time to buy a Lexus." Like,
we've this got is when 0% you need- APR and no payment due for 84 months. This is not a bad deal at all.
Wow!
Buy a car. Oh,
sounds
you don't.
Great.
You don't have a job. You can just push back the payments. You don't
in
have
84
job.
Months. You better have a job.
In 84 months, yeah. When your Lexus bill catches up with you, but.
But to dive in to the "Am I becoming my father?" I think there's a lot of things about my dad that are permanently etched in onto me. I think. I think like my like I'm very money concerned. I don't know if I'm the best at budgeting and things, but like money and price, like that is one thing my dad just hammered into me like growing up, and I think I will always be that. It's like, you got your paycheck, so this chunk goes to savings, this chunk goes to, you know, important costs. And I think there's like elements of like being an upbeat, loud, trying to be a like My dad likes to lead. My dad likes to get up in front of people and talk. My dad, you know, I mean, there's definitely like those elements that I think I am definitely very much like my dad in. And and also I'm getting he gave me his freaking hairline. I'm going to be bald like him. But, you know, in terms of like some other things with my dad, like we do not see eye to eye politically all the time. That's for sure. And some other stuff that I know we just don't see eye to eye on. But like at the end of the day, if you've ever met my dad likes to be around, you know, hang out with people he cares, but likes to just mostly do his thing, has his routines and like his things, you know. And as you guys know, it's like I like my routines and I like my things. I like to sit in my chair. I like to wind down my day. I like to play. You know what I mean? Like, that's what my dad would always do that. Like, and so I just feel like I'm totally the same way. You come home from work, you pop in the chair, you might take a nap. Like, there's definitely, I feel like, a bunch of small things that I feel like I've carried from my dad. But I feel like there are some things that I just see a little bit differently, and that's a good, and that's okay, and that's a good thing, I think, too, because I think it's important to remember, at least for us, is, I mean, my dad worked every day since he was like 14, so like career driven stuff and like having stable jobs and that stuff is like very important to him, whereas for me it's like, you worked your ass off and gave me a life where I didn't need to have a job until I was in college, basically. I mowed lawns and stuff, but I didn't, like, my parents were way more focused on me doing well in school and like being a social, fun kid versus like, I'm sure
they
what his dad said of
really
you're getting
forced
a job.
You in. They really, I don't know if I'd say forced, but it very strongly encouraged you to do as much after school stuff as possible. So that kind of like, is a mm-hmm. direct inhibitor to getting a job, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have a job until I quit lacrosse because you couldn't. You had three-hour
windows.
And
that's what
windows.
My dad, you know.
Yeah, and like that's definitely one thing. Like I guess like I would say for sure if I am to be a father, because at the end of the day, like I don't know, I'm still young enough, but I'm getting to this age, and like as I go on, like I'm not necessarily like sold on the idea of having kids. Like I don't know, I don't think that's necessarily what I think I might want to do. But if I was to have a kid, that idea of you're not coming home after school right away, that is a must. That is a 100%. That is definitely something I'm taking from my dad, and I don't care what they do, but it's you're playing sports, you're playing instrument, you're in theater, taking Spanish class.
Well, that would hopefully be during school,
because my dad said that he's like, if you don't do that, you're getting a job, and it was just like, I just feel like that makes sense. I just feel like that having that type of structure and then like developing that passion for things that I love, like baseball, was just really, really key to me. And that's obvious. One thing too, like the passion for sports, especially baseball. Baseball ties me and my dad together very strongly as well. So I guess that would be my spiel. It's like, so yes, in certain ways, I definitely have become my dad, and I'm becoming more like my dad. But I know of the things that I kind of, and I don't. And this sounds like mean, but like there's the things that I know I'm forging my own path away from what he maybe thinks
mean.
Or what he would do. Yeah, I was gonna. I think I fixed the phrasing in my head. I think I was gonna make it sound a little bit more harsh or something like that. But that's my two cents.
Yeah, my dad's a dirty little bitch, and I'm not. Is that how it was in your head?
Yeah,
little bitch boy.
Sounds like something Paul would say.
Yeah, 100%. Shout out,
Trevor. What's your take?
Also,
on that?
My dad's a belly flop champion, so I mean, shout out to
maybe
him.
By the time you're like 35 or 40, you'll have a belly big enough to do a belly flop champion or to be a belly flop champion.
I will never be able to, I will never have a pool full of people chant my name and then
not with that
literally
attitude, Holden.
All these other people,
we can stage it.
What did you say?
I said, not with that attitude,
dude,
Holden.
No, I don't want it staged. I don't want that stage, dude. My dad literally comes home from a midday 4th of July nap. We get him to come back up to the pool, and the whole pool is chanting his name. And like everyone else is doing like much better, some people are doing better belly flops. There's all these kids, but no one gives a shit, because then my dad just rolls up and just does the same backflip flop he did for like 15 years. It was incredible. And
backflip?
We had a great picture of it. Well, yeah, dude, he would get on, and he would always, like, get on the board, and he'd always do my dad thing where he just, like, puts his hands out and, like, does, like, a little
jazz
woo,
hands.
And then he would just turn around, and then, yep, and then it was just a beautiful, just woo.
Majestic belly flop.
Backflip flop. And then, dude, it just is the crowd erupts. My dad is a big crowd pleaser, and the one thing I also do want to take from my dad is just, like, how good he is with kids. When we had my brother's wedding in Sanibel, and my brother's now wife, her kid or her nieces and nephews came onto the, came all, they all came to the States and stuff, and there was the big language barrier. But like, he made sure that those kids were going to the beach, like those kids were having fun, they had what they needed, and
they
called him Tanoshi son.
Because they're pretty young, right?
Not the kids, but there was one of Checky's, I think Checky's brother can speak some English. He's actually spent some time in Ohio, Cincinnati, actually, which was cool for my dad because that's where he's from. But yeah, so then eventually.
I'm so disappointed though when people are like, yeah,
Checky's like
to
nieces
the United
and
States,
nephews.
I went to Ohio. I'm like, aww. Yeah. Like,
I mean, he was
what
pumped
about,
on
like,
Ohio.
California,
he loved basketball
Washington.
And LeBron was on the Cavs. Like he was
well,
in
then,
Ohio
yeah.
when LeBron was on the Cavs. Like he was pumped on it actually. So, but yeah. So then like by the end of the trip and by the end of the wedding, my little nieces, I guess step nieces or something, whatever you would call them. They named my dad Tanoshi son, which is Mr. Fun in Japanese. So that just kind of
Tanoshi son. That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Tanoshi son. Yeah, it was awesome. So yeah, I mean, definitely some shout outs to my dad. I love my pops. Anyway, you guys?
Trevor, what's your take on that? Do you think Paul is just like his dad? I think Paul, I don't know your dad that well, but you're definitely stubborn like your dad.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Got the,
you
the
definitely got
percent.
That bullheadedness, which I, trust me, I have for sure from my dad.
Ava would
also
agree.
From my mom.
Yeah. I feel like, Caleb, your parents, you're so stubborn, but your parents are also so stubborn that they can't even be that mad at you. They're like, yep, this is, he's our boy. This is what he does.
Kelsey always tells me that I'm like an absolute, like, melt my parents down into one pot and then make a new mold. And she said, like, I have so many of the qualities that my mom does, but then so many that my dad has too. I like to think it's only the good qualities. Kelsey, yeah,
you like to hope.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you only think of it. You only think the good side, huh? Right? You only see yourself in the good light, huh? Shocker.
Yeah, I'm like stubborn only in the good way. That's how that works.
Yeah, exactly.
When you have a baby, you purge your bad qualities. Trevor,
No, I feel like I'm kind of the same way. I'm like a pretty even combination of a bunch of different things from my mom and my dad. And I feel like it's always been like a thing in my family that we joke about, that like people will meet me and meet my mom and they're like, oh my gosh, you're just like your mom. And then they meet my dad later and they're like, ah, never mind. You guys are like, you know, just, you're a total like Haim or whatever. But no, I feel like this is a kind of a hard thing to discuss, because I, things like with me being like my dad or me being like my parents, I feel like when I try to think about things that I do that are like them, I don't necessarily, like, I can't necessarily see it, but like in the heat of the mm-hmm. moment, like there's definitely been times where I've like said something to somebody or I've like done something and I'm like, whoa, that was definitely my dad. That's something my dad would do for sure.
Yeah.
And I'm sure like Caleb said, like, I feel like I should get Amanda in here and Amanda will just start pointing out like, yeah, you do this. Yeah. Your dad does this.
The partner
like,
knows better.
She definitely sees it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I mean, it's hard. It's really hard. Like it takes a different level of wisdom to like be able to. Yeah, Paul. See, I'm just going to keep on talking. Yeah.
Do it.
But for real, I think it's really, really, it takes a different level of introspection to like see how you act from the outside and then analyze it and like do it honestly. Because of course, like everything that you do, like is filtered by your own consciousness a little bit. Like I know mm-hmm. that like even sometimes where like you act out in a way that you didn't think at all, you thought you were totally justified. And then from the outside, like somebody tells you about how they experienced that and you're like, oh, that was a dick move, wasn't it? Like I didn't perceive it that way at all. But like, you know, I don't know. Like when I poke fun at Paul for being out of shape, like I thought that was just good fun. But apparently it's not nice.
But Paul's really sensitive about it.
I'm pretty open and honest. I'm flabby. It's all right. I worked out literally like 15 minutes before this.
Nice.
Yeah, he's not.
The show?
Okay, he's also compared to most people that I know. You know how like some people, like they graduate high school and then they go to college and you're like, holy shit, you were an athlete. What happened to you? Like, did you just switch to donuts? Like, people do that, you know?
All but freshman year donuts.
Yeah, I think some people truly do. They just like lose that guidance and then, all right, but whatever. Sorry.
Oh, Trevor. Yeah.
No,
I can think of a handful.
I think he wrapped it up.
Yeah.
I think he wrapped it up and was pitching it to you, actually, there, bud.
Oh. Is that true? I mean, I guess that makes sense. Paul went on a little bit longer, but that's, you know, shocker. That's the dynamic here. Yeah. I don't, for me, I guess
I have to talk the most. If I don't, then I'm not validated.
Yeah. Is that your dad coming out? No. I don't know your dad that well, so.
Yeah.
No.
A little bit. It's just no, like sometimes like my dad just, it's the classic, my dad is always just like, let me finish, like don't interrupt my dad, like that is just the that's how you light the fire on the powder keg when you get in trouble in school or something, you know, when I was doing something bad, and then, you know, the way to make it worse was to interrupt my dad. And then it's just like, all right, listen, buddy. But anyway.
Hey, Pauly. What did they call it? Was it Paul Francis when you're in trouble?
That's my mom, Paul Francis. That's
a mom.
If you are sitting in the basement, if you're sitting in the basement playing some vids, and then you hear Mary Holden just say Paul Francis, it's just like in certain tones, because like sometimes my mom had like a fun tone, but it's like, Paul Francis. It's like, uh-oh.
I'm in big trouble.
What did I do?
And then there's like the exasperated Paul Francis. You know, and you're like, oh, yeah. Oh no. Not only did she have a bad day at work.
You know what I'm saying?
She came home and there was
a mess.
And
I guess the question was,
shat.
Because I think I take some stuff from my mom too, but I was just going with the dad side of the question. But yeah, you could tell with moms, the dialect is important because you know. You know when you fucked up and, like, and your mom is coming in to lay down the hammer. But anyway.
Oh, yeah. Caleb. That was like, I just remember I'm assuming the first time my mom ever heard me curse was when I was playing Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 during my freshman year of high school, and I had gotten a bunch of stitches in my knee. So like I would just come home and play that game because it was like I couldn't go to lacrosse practice. I'd play guitar a little bit, but I couldn't play drums, and I was just playing drums really at that time. So I would just come home and play that game, and I remember I had the door mostly closed. I'm sitting there playing. I'm like, oh, damn it. And I just heard, Caleb John, damn it. I was like,
Of all cuss words to like get like in trouble for, like,
damn it.
Oh, yeah. No, I wasn't. I mean, it was a very conservative household that I grew up in, which you would never guess now because my mom has one of the worst potty mouths I've ever heard from an adult. Like, and that includes like us. Like, in this scenario, I'm considering us adults, which I don't know if I normally would, but you know, for the sake of the argument.
Technically,
I feel technically, like
my parents, we are all 25.
I don't think I'll ever feel like that. I will still just refer to myself as a kid. I think until I hit like 60, until I start seeing consistent gray hairs, then I'll be like, yeah, I'm an adult. I don't deserve it, but I'm there.
I won't see any gray hairs because it won't exist on my head.
But that's they'll be on your chin.
I'm mad about turning bald, if you haven't noticed. And I've done
Paul,
nothing
you
to prevent it or do anything to stop it.
I saw, and I saw some,
it was like a meme.
Not doing any of the
shampoos, not doing any of the like pills or anything.
Yeah, well, I saw
that, taking the hair from your butt and plugging it in.
What?
That's what I'm going to do. Butt hair plugs.
They take your butt hair and they put it into your head.
Tell me that's not real. Trevor, is that real?
It's a hair transplant.
Don't ruin my day. Tell me it's not real.
Why would that ruin your day? You have plenty of hair on your head.
Yeah, but I have more on my butt. You don't understand.
I think that's advantageous then, so that you can always like use it for other things.
Oh my gosh. Okay, moving on. Anyway, when it comes to my relation to my parents, I think I'm like a really good combination of both, and like I get the analytical side of my brain, like the kind of the right brain, left brain. Like I know that that's it's like a myth that people kind of blew out of proportion. But I think when it comes to problem solving, and especially you see it when I'm buying a product, like this right here, this pair of headphones, it's the Arctis Pro Wireless. I really like it, but it took me honestly almost a month and a half of daily reading reviews and YouTube videos and Reddit threads and just whatever information I could get about it. I was reading every single last bit to make sure that it was worth it before I bought it. It even had like a 30-day return policy. So I could have just ordered them and used it. But like that is my dad coming through, that he just sits and reads and reads and reads. And like, you know that Reddit? So for people who aren't Reddit users, you might not. But there's a Reddit called Buy It For Life. And it's where they post something that they've had for years and years, and it's just a really, really good product. Like, I'm sure people post, like, Birkenstocks. You know, those are one of those things that people say, like, you can have for a really, really long time, and they resole
lawnmowers.
Them, and they take care of them. What was that?
Lawnmowers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Some like, a Craftsman lawnmower. Yeah, people would definitely post that. And, like,
Sears.
You know, you can replace the spark plug every 3 years. It'll run forever. Like, that's definitely both me and my dad. Like, I love shit like that. And how, like, if you can fix something up, just make it last a little bit longer. Like, my dad drove his Dodge Neon to 315,000 miles, I want to say. Like, it was just excessive. And it wasn't because he didn't, like, it was honestly a stubbornness thing, which I also get from him, but I want to move on from that. He just was like, he would feel defeated if he didn't drive it farther than that. You know, like, he just wanted to make it last forever, and because he was like, I made the decision to buy this car, and I like this car, and I'm going to keep using it, because I don't need any nicer car. Like, all through promotions, and, like, It wasn't until his company was like, we're just going to give you like a free car that you drive and we'll give you a different one every year, like, and you'll just return it. Which, it's hilarious. He complains every single year that they make him get the new year. Like, you know, like this year his car is a 2020. And next year they'll make him get a 2021 and he'll have to give back that car. And he's like, I don't get it. I want to keep my car. I like the one car. Why do I have to get a new one every year? I'm like, I have literally never heard anybody complain about being forced given a to car. Get a brand new car every single year. Which also, I'll be honest, I can't though, believe.
I totally like can see that because I don't even see the point in like having like a car that's come out in the last like 10 years or so. Like I've got like my 2007 Scion and I'm just like, this is the car that I will drive. And I don't see the point until in any ones. I'm like, people are like, you know, but you can get a new car that has like all these electronics and blah,
Apple
blah, blah.
CarPlay.
Like, mine has a stereo. I don't need a newer car than this. It's fine.
Well, somebody like you, you'd be like, if something came out that was like really like a new product, you're like, oh my gosh, these radios are amazing. You'd probably just buy that radio and put it in the car. Like if you really wanted that that much, like
way cheaper than buying a brand new car.
Yeah, and that's how I am.
The one thing I think on new cars. I like the backup cameras. I'm not gonna lie. I fuck with the backup camera hard.
Also, something that you can put in your car.
I can't even
get the speakers to play. I can't even have my speakers just turn on at the right time. I'm just driving half the time. It's all playing out the right, and then I'm driving, and then it just kicks on in the left randomly. It's like, all right, farther in. That's Bluetooth. That it does it for anything.
Oh God. I bet it's
the sync system that Ford introduced was just shitty, and the electrical stuff that was in my the electrics in my car aren't the greatest, and shouldn't say that on the internet because buy my car when I want to sell it soon.
Caleb, you can continue.
No, I wasn't sure where we were going, but anyway, whoever wants to talk,
I
want to
hear from Trevor.
No, with what Caleb was saying, like it got me thinking. Like, I feel like it's easy to think about the things that we, like, the traits that we got from our parents that are, like, more negative traits are, like, easier to think about because you're like, oh, I'm pretty stubborn and, like, you know, I have to deal with that with my parents too, but I'm the same way or whatever. So I was trying to think of, like, some positive traits that I have definitely inherited from my parents and specifically my dad since it's Father's Day. Yeah, nothing at all. No. The thing that comes to mind is my dad and I, we both share, and I would even say his dad and like his brothers all share this. It's just like a thing in our family. But like people will just talk to us, and we like I feel like I can talk to anyone really, but like I don't always start the conversation. Like people just start telling me things, and we all have experienced it. And I feel like it's a cool thing that I enjoy that I seem to have inherited is just like I can go anywhere and be in any environment and just start talking to random people, and it's great. Like I just learn so much from people, and I feel like that's a trait my dad really has, and like he's done well in the sales world with, because being in sales you have to talk to people all the time, so he's just like a talker, you know, like we just talk to people. But
yeah, a thousand percent. I totally feel that.
You got that from your mom, Caleb?
Oh yeah, social butterfly.
Yeah, Caleb's mom is way more of the social. Caleb's dad is like, hey, I'm here. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. I'm gonna drink this beer.
He's not shy.
15 bales of hay whatsoever. I need to go. No, that's what I'm saying. He's not shy. He's just there. He's like, I just got 15 bales of hay I got to go take care of here before the goats get upset. So I can only hang for a bit, and then I got
to
go back.
He's like, if you guys want to keep on clucking, I'll go back out to the field.
He's a real man's man.
But it's like his dad always, I mean, Caleb's dad always would come and like strum up conversation and hang out when I was there. And obviously, Trevor, your dad will hang out with the best of us.
My dad will talk your
I mean.
Yeah, which I, dad, you know, I really enjoy talking to people.
He'll drink you under the table and he'll talk your ear off.
It was nice because your guys' dads became my fill-in dads on Dad's Weekend, because my dad didn't make it out usually for Dad's Weekend, so I got to go out with Scott Heim, and honestly, I don't even know. I usually just refer to Caleb's dad as Mr. Cole, because I want to say is Scott, but like when I see Caleb's dad, that's Mr. Cole. Like I want to make sure that he's Mr. Cole.
I think that's so
because
funny.
I just feel like. It's like Scotty.
What's
up, my dude? Hey, Mr. Cole, how are you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, Scott, you ready to take some shots? What's up, man? And then it's like, oh, Mr. Cole, thanks so much for your chicken burrito recipe. They were delicious.
Yeah, those are pretty bomb, actually.
My dad, but yeah, no, is that though? He's like, don't call me Mr. Heim. That's not cool.
Yeah. Mr. Heim. That's what I always tell students. When I'm substitute teaching, I don't like people will be like Mr. Cole, and I'm like just call me Caleb. It's fine. Like it's and like they'll listen to you more. I swear. Like if you feel more relatable, like that doesn't mean you're a pushover, but like just show them that you respect them as much as they should respect you, and they will give you that respect. You can't demand it, you know. Speaking of things, I'm very different from my father. That's the same thing you were saying. The political compass. You know, there's some things that we really agree on, and then there's some things that we, you know, obviously. But I think that's the natural flow of a lot of generations. And honestly, I've been thinking about that a lot because obviously the climate in the U.S., at least, if not the whole world, is really polarized. And you see a lot of that polarization between young people and old people. And I think it's pretty interesting because it seems like from all like the history I've read and from the, you know, the families or my parents that I've talked to, it seems like that's always the case. Like it's not just because like I thought a lot of it was like the technology age and especially the age of the internet and how much things can change or like how much the amount of knowledge that is out there changes how we perceive the world. But I think it's I think it really is just like the younger generations often just have different views, and like maybe it's part of the, you know, because I don't want to generalize that all older people are conservative and younger people are liberal, but that's generally that seems to, you know, us three came from very conservative families, right? Very Republican, you know, if you want to put it that way. And then, you know,
for me, there was conservative sides. I wouldn't say very, though, for me.
Yeah.
Like, I would definitely say I wasn't like a staunch conservative stuff. There were definitely some stuff, but like, for example, my dad and I wouldn't go shoot guns. You know, like my dad is not a gun guy or anything like that. And
which,
you know,
isn't like, also always a Republican thing. Like, you know, it's like
true,
the far
but
right.
But I was just giving a brief. Yeah, I was just a brief example for that.
But yeah, I think it's interesting that that can be a big difference because like the age thing, because I wonder if by the time, you know, I reach my dad's age, if my worldviews will drastically change from what they are now. And I remember Trevor 100%. A long time ago saying that they what was the age, Trevor? It was like they estimate that once you reach it's like 34 that your worldviews will not change any further. It's like, I remember you had told me about some article you were reading or some study.
I don't, off the top of my head, I can't remember that, but I do know like with like technology and things like that too, they say like once we hit, like once ourselves, like we hit like a certain age, we can't really like pick up like the latest technology anymore as easily and like probably wouldn't pick up like new political views. You know, it's like can't teach an old dog new tricks kind of a thing, but
yeah. Which is partially a load of crap.
I'm sure that's not
partially.
Yeah,
it's like some like it's true in the general sense, but like obviously there's plenty of people who are outliers on either side. Like there's plenty. Well, I know plenty of young people. My girlfriend being one of them who struggles deeply with technology. You know, does not like it.
I would say though that I think us. Like our generation though was the first one that had the biggest separation versus technology, and it's taken to this point to see. It's like, I mean, I just remember like my parents would every time I would be like texting or something, if I was just sitting on my phone a lot, my parents were always like, "Who are you diddling? Who are you diddling? What are you doing? Why are you always on your phone?" And now it's like,
did they say diddling?
That's what they say. They did.
That is.
I'm not lying.
Hey, I think I
didn't come up with it. There you go. There's your generation.
To avoid an awkward situation with the younger generation, I think you need to tell your parents that diddling could be perceived as something very inappropriate.
Yeah, we moved on from that term. But anyway, now it's like my mom and dad are on Facebook like all the time. But it's definitely, I think...
Way more than any of us.
I think the exposure of technology and like
it's weird.
Yeah, it's because they're reverting. It's gonna like it's us, you know. They're reverting like when we first got Facebook and we were like, yeah. I think now with the access to information and the access to everything is like we're really seeing like that technology understanding gap definitely fuels more division, I think, between, and whether that be a good thing or a bad thing, but like I think now that because I just think before everything it was a lot of times where the family was, you're in the family business, you're born on, you know, or you go and work at the shop and then you take over for dad and then they, you know, the boom ba boom ba boom, and then the rarity was you go off and go to college and do something else or like something like similar, or I just feel like now it's like we have access to so many different things and information and traveling and all this stuff is just more in our face versus I think like when our parents, it's like my dad growing up in small town Ohio, it was like small town Ohio was the world. And then, you know, you got your information from the paper and the radio a little bit, but that was it. You're not seeing thousands of videos on Twitter or just Googling anything, you know, like. I think you could see some definite differences now. I think that has the biggest impact now going forward for stuff.
I think that's also kind of creating an interesting issue of like when you grew up in small town, you know, wherever, and that was like your whole world. If you had a really, you know, far out there like outlier viewpoint or like a far out there idea, you kind of just stayed with you in your little small town, but now you can actually find people across the globe that also share that really far out like viewpoint and kind of band together with those people, which is an interesting thing that's been happening.
It can be, you're either banding together over like, oh, look at all the world loves this game. Now it's like, or like, you know, groups that are like hate groups and things like that. You know, it's a very interesting thing, but, yeah, man, I think, though, I can, from all of us, I would say I think we got some pretty stellar dads that have raised some pretty stellar dudes. But that, I think, is going to be the Chat Pack Podcast. We're going to get ready to wrap things up here. Trevor looked like he is getting hailed to go to his afternoon hike. I think Caleb's
Amanda.
I want to go make some food.
Amanda came in here saying she found a lost kid and that there was a police officer outside and she needed something that she couldn't find, and so I knew where it was. So I'm about to go find out what the heck's going on in my living room, but we'll see.
Okay, that sounds like a lot more important of what than what I'm gonna do, but let's close down the show. Always closing thoughts, guys. What do you guys got to say? Close out the show. Caleb, closing thoughts. Trevor says dad's rock.
Trevor, go ahead. Dad's rock. Caleb?
Dad's rock.
Well, I gotta give my mom's rock. I gotta give my recommendation this week.
That's true.
Boy.
Recommend whatever we were watching on Netflix yesterday, because that was a fantastic series of nature stuff that I haven't seen.
It was so good that Paul doesn't even remember the name.
I think it's called. I think it's called Night on Earth.
Oh, I saw
and
that.
It's, it was like, awesome. I will give that recommendation. It's called Night on Earth, and so what they, I don't know if they invented it for the show or if this is the first I've seen it, but they really stress the technology that they use for the nighttime cameras, and they like show like a regular camera and it's just completely black, and then they have like the heat cameras, right? But then they have this new technology that like basically they take the heat mapping and then it like, I don't know if it's digital, like, but I'm gonna say it like rebuilds what it would look like during the day, so it looks like it's just like a very light dusk, like the sun's just going down, but you can see everything, like you can almost see like color and shit too, like it's really wild. And we saw a leopard. Wait, I think it was an ocelot. What was it?
Ocelot, that's what it was.
Ocelot. And it jumped, it was like a climbed a tree and then jumped down and like grabbed this bird that was perching and then like was hanging from the tree branch by its back leg. Dude, it was wild. Definitely would recommend that. Yeah, it was nuts. Show.
Damn nature.
Yeah. Damn nature, damn. Indeed. Thank you all so much for joining us here. This has been the Chat Pack Podcast, where each week you can catch us at twitch.tv/chat_pack for the live recorded version of the podcast, but it is released every Monday on your Spotify streaming thing of choice. It's not just Spotify, but it does release on Spotify. Also, iTunes, you can follow along Apple with Music. Us on Twitter and Instagram, Chat Pack Live there. You can stay up to date with that. Trevor does the Twitter. I usually do some stuff on the Instagram. And
I'm a bum.
Yeah, maybe I keep popping around with some stuff on some things. And then Caleb and I are going to work on some stuff. But for now, we're going to go off to enjoy the rest of our Sundays. Enjoy the Sundays with your fathers or enjoy
Trevor's
your
gonna
Sunday.
Trevor's going to go find a home for a lost
doing.
Child.
Yeah, he's going to go figure out that.
Keep him away from that police officer, man. He might send him over sunglasses. To ICE or something. I don't trust him.
We'll have to see.
All right. Until next week, catch you on the Flippity Flip.